Good morning, everybody. It's 11:04, and you're listening to Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up on the show, we'll get you an update on the coronavirus, how far it's spread, what's being done internationally, also what the plans are locally for if it comes here, and then what you can do as well. What are the steps that you should take to protect yourself? So stay tuned for that. We're also going to talk about the future of a star, and we're talking about Betelgeuse, the left shoulder of Orion. But right now on Air Talk, last week, the nine justices on the U.S. Supreme Court got together for their first private conference in several weeks, during which they put the finishing touches on the opinions they issued in their last term and decided which cases they will hear during their April sitting. But in the meantime, the justices have a slew of cases still to hear on their docket, and they heard the first of those yesterday. Joining us to highlight a few of the important cases the Supreme Court will hear in the coming months are Amy Howe, co-founder of SCOTUS Blog and author of the blog Howe on the Court. She tweets at A Howe Blogger. Amy, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Good morning.
Good, it's all fine. And Kimberly Robinson, a U.S. Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg Law and co-host of Bloomberg's Law podcast, Cases and Controversies, and she tweets at Kimberly Robinson. Hi, Kimberly.
Thanks for having me on.
So first, let's start with you, Kim. Were there any, number one, this is very cool to have you guys here to be able to break this all down for our listeners. And I should put out the number in case people have questions. 866-893-5722, 866-893-5722. They are drawing the curtain from, you know, the secretive Supreme Court. So it's kind of exciting. So, Kim, were there any notable finishing touches put on cases from last term that came out of the Justices Conference on Friday?
Well, the conference on Friday, the justices considered which cases they wanted to add to their docket. Now, these are all cases that are going to be heard during the next term. And the court only took up one case, but it's a really consequential case that fits kind of in the line of a lot of other cases that the court has been wrestling with over the past couple of terms. And that is the line between religious freedom and LGBT rights. So in the case that they agreed to take up, the question is whether or not Philadelphia can refuse to renew the Catholic Charities foster care contract because the group refuses to place children with same-sex couples. So again, this is really balancing out religious freedom and LGBT rights, something the Supreme Court justices has been trying to get at for a number of terms.
Are there any indications where they're going to go on it?
Well, they've been really confused in this area. So we saw them kind of perplexingly in a case about whether or not a cake maker could refuse to serve a same-sex couple for their wedding, kind of turn the case back, not really on the merits, but saying that the state agency that dealt with the claim had done so with hostility towards religion and so sent it back and hasn't really dealt with the issue again. So it will be looking, of course, to all the justices, but probably most notably Chief Justice Roberts, who's really in the swing seat this term.
And Amy, before we shift our focus to this term, there was a case that came out Friday, right, that the judges agreed to hear in the next term, Fulton versus Pennsylvania, that has to do with faith-based adoption agencies and same-sex couples?
Yes, that's a case that Kimberly just described, and it's really good.
Oh, that is? I'm sorry. So I'm
a fascinating case.
That's why we have you experts here. I'm sorry. So this is that particular case. Do you have thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kimberly did a great job describing it. I mean, one thing, you know, they sound very different, but you know, the core issue is sort of the division between religious rights and LGBTQ rights. And so, one case that the Supreme Court has also been considering is a case called Arlene's Flowers, which was the case of a florist in Washington State who had refused to do flowers for a same-sex couple. And that case is now on hold, so it presents the same issue, and so it sounds a little bit different when you're talking about like adoption services and weddings, but that case now I think is going to be waiting until the Supreme Court decides the Fulton versus Philadelphia case as well.
Kim, on Monday the judges returned to the bench. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's really a very significant case.
What was the first case they heard on their return? For the February session?
Right. So this is the justices had just completed a four-week break, and the first case that they considered was a case about a pipeline that energy companies want to build through the Appalachian Trail. And it's a really kind of wonky technical case that will have really billion-dollar implications. But the question really is, what agency gets to decide whether or not to approve the pipeline? And so we saw a really heated debate among the justices in their argument. But it did seem like they were going to say that, the agency below had the authority to approve the pipeline and give it the go-ahead, although there's still a lot to be done before that pipeline can actually be complete.
Some of the more politically charged cases, like President Trump's finances and taxes, those involving abortion, are coming up. Amy, can you tell us about there's a March abortion case, it's called Medical Services versus Russo, and Russo versus June Medical Services. It's kind of the same deal. What's at stake in that case? What's happening there?
So this is a really interesting case because there's a challenge to a Louisiana law that requires doctors to have the right to admit, doctors who perform abortions, to have the right to admit patients at nearby hospitals. And a couple of years ago in 2016, after the death of Justice Antonin Scalia, the Supreme Court struck down a similar law in Texas by a vote of 5-3. Justice Anthony Kennedy, who has since retired, joined the court's four more liberal justices in saying that this law was unconstitutional. And so last year, an appeals court in Louisiana upheld a very similar Louisiana law. So the abortion clinic and the doctors who perform abortions in Louisiana came to the Supreme Court on an emergency basis and asked the justices to block the state from enforcing the law until they could come to the Supreme Court and appeal. And in a late-night order back in February of 2019, the justices did put the law on hold, and you had the Chief Justice, as Kimberly talked about, that sort of watching the Chief Justice in the faith-based adoptions case, the Chief Justice John Roberts, who'd actually been in dissent in the Texas abortion case in 2016, joining the court's former liberal justices to put the Louisiana law on hold because you need 5 votes for what's called a stay at the Supreme Court to block the lower court's order. And so, we've got a couple of things going on. The abortion clinic and the doctors say that this law is basically the same as the Texas law, and therefore it, too, should be unconstitutional because it puts too much of a burden on a woman's right to obtain an abortion. There is a pair of cases, as you mentioned, so that you have the abortion clinics and the doctors challenging Louisiana law. You have the state of Louisiana has raised with the Supreme Court whether or not the doctors and the clinics have the right to challenge the law at all. Mm. And so that's something that was not directly at issue in the Texas case. And so it could be, something that it's certainly something that at least 4 justices were interested in because they agreed to take up the question at all. It could be if the justices were looking for potentially a way to not have to decide the question about whether or not this Louisiana law is constitutional, a way to dodge that question. We'll know a lot more after the oral argument next Wednesday.
We also, Kim, have cases involving President Trump's finances, in case somebody wants to look it up. Trump versus Vance, Trump versus Mazars, and Trump versus Deutsche Bank. Those are going to be heard at the end of March. Could you break them down for us?
Well, sure. These are really a trio of cases, but kind of have 2 separate issues. And so President Trump, when he was candidate Trump, did not turn over his tax returns, as many presidential candidates have done. And this is kind of seen as a way to get at that information a little differently through subpoenas. In one case, it's a subpoena by House committees. In the other, it's a grand jury investigation by New York. And so the question here is really whether or not the House and New York can actually investigate the president and seek these documents, or whether the president is entitled to a really broad immunity while he's in office. And so listeners may remember that while the New York case was being argued in the courts below, the president's private attorney famously said that the president could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and that New York couldn't even investigate the president. Not that they couldn't just charge him, but they couldn't even investigate him. And so that's what the justices are going to be looking at in this case. And again, I think, you know, we'll have to be watching Chief Justice Roberts to see where he is on oral arguments during these.
Will the decision come out before the election?
It should come out. And so the Supreme Court has a habit of issuing all of its opinions in argued cases before they go on break for the summertime, with a few exceptions. If they're deadlocked and they think that, you know, another go at it the next term will allow them to kind of shake the deadlock. But that's not really at issue here. All nine justices are going to be participating in these cases. So we should see an opinion sometime in June or maybe early July.
And are these the cases that President Trump is saying that Justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg should recuse themselves?
That's right. So we saw some tweets from the president early morning here about Justices Ginsburg and Justice Sotomayor being biased against the president and requesting that they recuse themselves from these and other Trump-related cases. That's probably not likely to happen. The instances of bias that the president was speaking about with Justice Ginsburg happened when President Trump was a candidate, and she hasn't recused since then. And the instances that he was suggesting about Justice Sotomayor really had more to do with the DOJ and their practices rather than with President Trump personally. So I can't see those two justices recusing in these really consequential cases.
There's another case to be heard at the end of April involving exemptions for religious objectors to the ACA requirement to provide health plans that include contraceptives. Who wants to take that one on?
Happy to talk about it. You know, it would be a June in a presidential year without an Affordable Care Act case. And so a couple of years ago, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in a case, a challenge by religious nonprofits to the Affordable Care Act's birth control mandate, which generally requires employers to provide their female employees with health insurance that includes access to certain forms of birth control. And the Obama administration, federal government, exempted churches and other religious institutions from having to comply with the birth control mandate, and then it provided an opt-out process to accommodate religious nonprofits that did not want to have to comply with the mandate. So the religious nonprofits argued not only that they didn't want to go through the opt-out process, they argued that even having to go through the opt-out process violated their religious beliefs. And so in 2016, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in a challenge, but the court, after Justice Antonin Scalia died, the justices were likely divided, so they sent the cases back to the lower courts and said, you know, work this out. Try to figure out something so that female employees can still have contraceptive coverage and employers can still have their religious beliefs respected. The Trump administration in 2017 expanded the exemption from the mandate, from the birth control mandate, and allowed private employers who object to the birth control mandate to opt out of providing coverage for their female employees without providing any notice to the government. And so now you have Pennsylvania and New Jersey who went to court to block the new rules, and they say that it violated the Affordable Care Act and the federal laws governing administrative agencies. And so that's what the Supreme Court is going to be deciding, both whether or not that's true and then whether or not the Little Sisters of the Poor, who intervened in the case, have the right to appeal a lower court decision. There's also an issue that's near and dear to some of the justices' hearts about what's known as nationwide injunctions, when one court in one part of the country issues an order that blocks the government from doing something anywhere in the country.
I want to thank both of you for coming on Air Talk today, Amy Howe and Kimberly Robinson. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for having me.
That's Amy Howe, co-founder of SCOTUS Blog and author of the blog Howe on the Court. She tweets at @ahowblogger, and Kimberly Robinson, U.S. Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg Law and co-host of Bloomberg's Law Podcast, Cases and Controversies. She tweets at Kimberly Robinson. Coming up, the future of Betelgeuse, the star, and what you need to know about coronavirus. That and more is on the way on Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC.